I'm worried if I have stumbled some of you since I came late. I hope for your understanding because our service ends back to back with you. And we do end at 2:30, 2:45. To run all the way here, it really is a struggle. But I'm so happy to be invited and to minister the Word of God. And I hope that you will bear for my late coming today. I thank God for the prayer for me to bring the Word of God. Pray that the Lord may bless us and allow me to also ask His blessing this day. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for the Lord's Day. A day of rest. A day of worship. A day to remind us that without You, we can do nothing. A day of reading good books, Christian books, to know how Your people have lived throughout the centuries, how the Puritans have loved You, how they spend the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is our blessing as a testimony to our neighbors that we are God's people. The Lord's Day is for us to fellowship with one another as a family before God. Lord, we thank You for the Lord's Day. We thank You for this place of being renovated. Thank You for Your provisions. Thank You for a more conducive place of worship that we might be brought closer to You. Lord, this afternoon as we listen to Thy word, we pray that You may have mercy upon Thy preacher. That, Lord, he might receive Thy grace and strength and understanding, that his mind might be clear, that he also may live the sermon he preached. Lord, we pray that You may have mercy upon us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is a variety of experiences. And when we read what James has told us in chapter 5, let's turn our Bibles to chapter 5. We know that all of us will go through these experiences. There are times whereby we will be afflicted. There are times whereby we shall be joyful. And there are times whereby we shall be sick. Which circumstance in your life are you in today? Are you afflicted? Are you happy? Or are you sick? In all these things, Apostle James has told us the rightful thing to do, and that is to pray. And as we go through these short verses that we have read and are going to meditate, we're going to see how God is good to us. God has installed prayer as a means of our blessings. It is the lifeline that God has given that we may seek His blessing. It is the closest to heaven that we have on earth. If we won't understand and appreciate prayer, if we won't spend our time even in prayer, we have missed the great blessing that God has given to us. So this afternoon, my friends, let us remind ourselves through His word how important prayer is to all of us. So here Apostle James said, is any among you afflicted? The answer here is yes. In fact,
You may wonder why did the Apostle James ask such a question when in fact he wrote this to those who are troubled. If you turn your Bible to the first chapter, what did he say? He said, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, come in all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. They were living in a persecuted times, where persecution was so rampant, and so they were scattered. And he wrote to encourage them and to teach them how to live a life as Christians. And thus he said, are you in diverse temptations? That means different kinds of trials. Are you being tested? Are you being afflicted? Now, Apostle James didn't ask this question because he doesn't know the trouble of God's people, but rather to tell them what is the best thing to do in the times of trouble. My friends, the word afflicted here has the idea of to suffer physical pain, hardship, and distress. And let's go through this as we think about the afflictions that we're going to have in this world. First, you talk about physical pain. Now, the first thing that we can think, firstly, is we are living in the last days. We hope we as pre-tribulation Christians do believe it to be right, and we hope our doctrine is true. Now, when you think about Revelation, or when you think about eschatology, there are many views about eschatology. How about if pre-tribulation rapture is false? Now, I believe it to be true. I'm just trying to give you a chance to think. And how about if the Lord will not rapture the church before the 7 years? How about if we will go through it? How about if we will see a gun before our face and will ask us, Jesus or freedom? How about if we can buy things because the 666 are not on our body? What are we going to do? How about if you had that thought? It's very sad. Nonetheless, I can see one of God's purpose. Such a right timing to pray for the affliction. When you had a pain in the body, the whole body aches. When the head is affected, your eyesight are affected, your appetite to eat also affected, and when all these things are affected, the whole body is drained. So what to do? Now we are just talking about one particular affliction, and that is physical affliction. Now how about the affliction in our hearts when our finances cannot meet our needs? When you can't tell your friends, when you can't even share to your parents, because it's not something easy to talk about when it comes to dollars and cents. When you suffer it alone together with your spouse and with your children, what is the best thing to do? How about when you're struggling with your boss? When he is unreasonable, when he is not understanding, when he doesn't care whether you have church or whether you have family, all he wants is that you sit down in the company. How about when you have problems with your spouse? When you can't understand one another, when every day is like an earthquake at home? How about when your children are growing up, living a teenage stage in their life, when they think they are the only people who are so wise, who don't need counsel and who don't need guidance because they have discovered the whole world? The teens, as some scholars have observed, are the most proud people in the whole world. How about if you yourself are growing old, when you feel your body is weak? What is the best thing to do? Friends, afflictions will come our way. Is any among us here afflicted? What is the best thing to do? I want to bring to you two things that we must not do before I share with you with the thing that we must do. Put a figure here or put a bookmark here. We turn our Bibles first to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Let's read verse 14 to 16. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Let's read together. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The Apostle Paul here teaches us something that we shouldn't do, and that is we cannot be a murmuring and a disputing people. When Apostle Paul talks about murmurings, he is actually talking about a secret displeasure. A secret displeasure over something. It is a condition of the heart when you cannot accept the sovereign will of God and His decision and what circumstance you are in. Who wants to be in an affliction? I don't want it. I think you also don't want it. The tendency is we murmur. We murmur that our children have grown up. And sometimes we murmur, I wish I had a different kind of children. I wish I married another person. I wish I went to this interview and changed job. I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't do that. So many regrets. But the thing is, you are in that affliction. You have no option, my friends, to murmur. The Lord doesn't want you to murmur. And also the Lord doesn't want you to dispute. When you are getting old, why would you say, what kind of creation is this? Why can't the Lord just let me enjoy my health and take me overnight? Why would the Lord allow me to fall down? Why would the Lord allow me to have rheumatism? And all the medical troubles that we have. Do not murmur. Do not dispute God's wisdom. God is not at a loss. God knows what He's doing in your life. And so, we must do all things. The purpose is that we might be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Blameless is that when nothing can be found worthy of accusation. Harmless, when we are not harmful to our neighbors. When we are lacking of money, we don't steal. If you murmur, you will steal. The sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, because when the Lord allows us to go through affliction, He wants to prove to the world that His grace is sufficient. Last time when I was younger, more younger, now I'm still young, I think, so I say more younger. I don't know if it's grammatically correct. But in those days, I tend to think that the power of God is only seen when we see great things. When I see promotion, power of God. When I see good health, power of God. When I see lots of money and bonuses, power of God. When the business is thriving, power of God. When I see failure, is that power of God? But one thing I've learned in the life of Apostle Paul, the Lord showed his power in the small steel box. Through weakness, through affliction, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Apostle Paul understood this, and then he said, if that is the case, Lord, then give me more. If that is the case, give me more. Because I want to see how the power of God works. I want to see how the power of God provides. There are times when I was younger when I see, oh, how I envy the rich. I must work hard, I must study. This is all good, and we must work hard, we must study. And by God's grace, the Lord has given me a good work in one of the banks in Singapore before I joined FEBC. Good. But you know something? I realize it's not all good to be rich. Because when you have money every day, you don't really see what it means for God to tell us, don't worry of what you eat. The trouble of the day is sufficient enough. Until I gave up my secular job and I joined FEBC and I live as a student, I saw what it means to trust in God. When day by day you're going to pray, when you leave your home, you don't know what your children will eat at the end of the day. You don't know how to survive the whole month. See, my friends, God is not at a loss. When God gives us affliction, it is because He wants to show to the world that He is a good God. Is any among you afflicted? Let's turn to our text, James 5. Chapter 5, verse 3. Is any among you afflicted? The answer here is yes. Now, what should we do? We should pray. Let him pray. And this let him pray is written in a form of a command. In the original languages, in the Hebrew, in the Greek text, there is an interesting way of commanding a person, and that is in the third person. Normally when we command in English, you do this, you do that. It's like a second person command. You command a person, the second person, I want you to do this. But here when he says, let him, he is reminding everyone around him not to stop the person. Are you a hindrance for others to pray? Are you an encouragement for others to pray? Are you a reminder for others to pray? Let him pray. He is in trouble. Don't stop him in prayer. At home, when you see the wife praying or the husband say, how come you keep on praying? Work it out. I know of a couple. The husband don't care about God. Only come on Sundays because he thinks he's a Christian. And he see the wife praying, hiya, what? No, don't waste your time. And can cite all the verses in the Bible about the need to work. Can even say when Moses was about to pray to God, the Lord said, lift up, arise, and show your rod and divide the Red Sea. It's not a time to pray. It's true, there are times whereby it's not a time to pray. It's a time to work. But my friends, the first thing that we must remember is that we must pray. So it's a command for others around us that we shouldn't be stopped. When our children are taking exams, they are on holidays now, soon they will have exams. Do you remind them to pray? Or do you only remind them to study? When we have difficulty with our bosses, I remember in those days, I couldn't get along with my boss. One Christian colleague told me, do you pray for your boss? Do you pray that you might have a good relationship? I realized, oh yeah, I don't pray. And so I began to pray. And you know what was the Lord's answer? Give me another boss. That means, give me another job. And my pay was more than 30% of the last pay. And then the boss and I had a good relationship that when I resigned, she cried. She was a Christian. She said, Dennis, if not for the Lord's work, I'm not going to release you. She cried. I also cried. Told me, when you graduate, give me a call. I want to come. A good working relationship because I prayed for her. Thank God for that colleague who told me, why don't you pray for your boss? Let us not be a hindrance. Let us be an encouragement and a reminder of others to pray. So let us encourage them. Let him pray. And for the person who is in that affliction, he must know, he must pray. There are many hindrances to prayer. When you see a person not praying, it is not a small thing, you know. A person who is not close to God will not be seen praying. A prayer man is, a sign of a prayer man is only like seeing an iceberg. You only see him pray, but act praying, but actually behind him is a life of godliness, a life of total devotion to God, a life that walks with God. If he can open his Bible in the morning to spend 15 minutes at least before God, before starting the day, if his prayer is just an occasion of small time when you're facing your food, or if it's a matter of because of your vocation, if that is a prayer to you, when you are in trouble, the first thing you will do is to think how to solve it. If you don't have money, the first thing you will think is how to borrow. Wherever you go nowadays, they all advertise easy to borrow. You only need 60 minutes, and if you can, if you won't be approved in 60 minutes, we will give back to you a certain percentage. Right? You see, in our mailboxes, credit line open to everyone. That's the first thing we will do. We will borrow money. If you are afflicted of someone, the first thing you will do is revenge. Get angry. First thing you will do is something that is in your heart. And so when Apostle James said, let him pray, it is to tell us that really we have to walk our lives day by day with the Lord. Because when we are in touch with God, we will always go to him. First thing we will do is go to him. Look at our children. Sometimes children will come to us preachers and show us their problems. And the first thing that I will ask is, did you tell your parents? They'll say no. When that person says no, I feel sad. It tells me his or her relationship with the parents is not strong. Perhaps to that child, the last person to tell is my mom or my dad. How sad is that? But you can force the child to tell to the parents because there's no bonding. Same with us. If we don't have bonding with our Father in heaven, we won't go to God. That's the same thing with the Israelites. When they were in a low spiritual state, whenever they have a problem, the first thing they would think is Egypt. Run to Egypt. Run to Syria. run to people, but they don't run upward. They run northward, southward, but they won't run upward. My friends, are you in affliction? Go to God. Even if you are not in affliction now, be in prayer. Love God with all your heart. And you shall be found praying when it is more needed in your life. We need to pray. There's a hymn that says prayer is a balm for the weary, isn't it? It's a balm for the weary. How about when you are happy? Also, James asks another question. Is any merry? He said, let him sing psalms. Most of us here, I believe, are in this condition. Perhaps the economy is getting better, business is picking up, it's no more scary like 2 years ago, when we are scared to go to our station, and they say, when you go to a train station, it's where the train stops. When you go to a bus station, it's where the bus stops. During retrenchment times, the 1997 crisis, I think, or after that, we say we are so scared to go to our workstation because you're scared to see a white envelope in your table, because the white envelope may say a goodbye letter, retrenchment. So we don't want to go to our workstation because perhaps it's where the work stops. Friends, we are back to happy days. What are we doing? Are we singing psalms? We must sing psalms. That means we must praise the Lord for His goodness. Praise God. I have a job. Praise God. Money is coming in. Praise God. I'm healthy to enjoy my money. There was a time in my parents' life, whenever there is bonus coming in, somebody will get sick. We just don't know how it was happening. Why was it happening? In those days in Philippines, we were living in the outskirts, and if somebody is sick, we need to airlift the person. Take a plane to go to Manila. Otherwise, you may just die there. Can you imagine? You have to take plane. When you reach there, you have to rent a place to stay. And standard of living are higher. And you have to pay for your doctors and everything. All your money gone. And my mother was saying, what is this? Every time there is money, expenses. One old Christian lady told my mom, do you give tithes to the Lord? My mom said, no. Because it wasn't taught in that church. Then the Christian old lady said, why don't you try giving tithes? My mom started to give. And from that time on, no more sickness. Praise the Lord. Happy. Isn't it sad? You receive a pay just to pay another person. Praise the Lord. Our pay now are most desirable, right? Just check. Oh, it's there. Are you thankful for God's blessings? Do you tell the Lord how grateful you are? The Psalms are expression of a joyful heart to the Lord. So he said, let him sing psalms. Well, you can include in that, let him sing hymns. Colossians, we are told to sing hymns. And a person who is filled with the Spirit will always be singing. I realize in my life when I'm spiritually down, when I'm not spending time with my Lord, I won't be singing. But when I am closer to God, Mary, joyfulness will just come out free to worship my Lord. My dear brethren in Tabernacle Living Church, may I call you in the spirit of Apostle James. Let us sing songs. Let's be joyful. Let's be happy. Let's be thankful in the Lord. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The third thing that we have here is any sick among you? The answer is yes. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now this may be something that many people can agree because of the presence of the anointing of oil. I myself don't really understand what it is because we are living in a different time. Could it be that it is cultural, like in the Ephesians when they have to cover their head? Now your church camp speaker is one of the men the Lord used to draw me closer to God. When I was working last time, I bumped into this website called sermonaudio.com. And the first person I heard was Reverend McIntyre. Being a BB, I was encouraged to listen to him. And then the following time, I went back. Nobody tell me about Sermon Audio. It was just like I accidentally bumped into that website. And the next time I visited, it was A.M. Paisley. And I heard about A.M. Paisley through Reverend Cho's testimony. And the third person I heard, who is this? Alan Kent. Alan Kent, who is this? I just listened to him, I don't know him. Wow, when he preached about Jesus Christ, about the atonement, I said, wow, this is so preaching. Great man of God, I keep going back to the sermon audio, listening to him. One day I couldn't hold myself, I gave him a call. I said, Dr. Kent, you just don't know how you've been a blessing to me. Thank you for your ministry. From that time on, we had correspondence. Before I give to FBC my application, my mom told me and said, can you wait for one more year? We are now retiring. Just help us process everything and then you join FBC. No objection. Not bad, isn't it? Just 1 year of request. When I listened to him, he was preaching. He said, oh, young man, you may love God, you may have all this for God and all this, but just one punch from the devil, you knock down, you won't be used anymore. From that time, I was so scared. I had to tell my mom, Mom, the Lord will take care of us. Let me go. The Lord took care of us. My second brother was blessed of the Lord. He became a businessman. He succeeded. And he could support my family, my parents. This man has been a great blessing to me. I'm so thankful that he took the courage to invite him. And, he's a man who wrote a book about prayer. He preached many sermons about prayer. Perhaps he can enlighten us of James. But for me, I want to share with you that this is to inform us. This is God's punishment to help us respect our pastors and our elders. They are not promoted by the Lord for nothing. They are there because the Lord wants them to be there and to take care of them. It is important for us to inform our leaders of the church that they might pray. Now, where the tabernacle will practice anointing of oil, it's not the issue here. The issue here is Do we respect our leaders as people who are worthy to pray for us? Do we share with them our burdens? I thank God in the pastoral prayer, the pastor can pray for the old lady. We trust the Lord will hear. And also, this is a reminder for the elders to take care of their lives. Because this is something that we in the leadership must understand. The lives of our people are somehow in our hands. When I say in our hands, I say that very humbly to mean that God will make you accountable if you don't take care of the flock. If the pastor is not spending his time with the Lord, if the pastor is not a prayerful man, when you call him, he'll tell you, I'm sorry, I'm busy. Or, I'm sorry, I'm preparing a sermon. Don't worry, I'll just pray over the phone, that's enough. Here we are told that the pastor has to put aside all his troubles and to go all the way to spend time with the person who is sick. To pray and to encourage. There was one time, sorry, I'm sharing many, many things about my life over here. It's just so happened that it becomes like that. Next time I come, I won't share. I was SMS, please visit my me. This is a Filipino Chinese who comes from my own province. Brother Dennis, please visit my maid. She's in a hospital. I said, okay, come in. We took a bus. I thought it's not urgent. Suddenly she called me, Brother Dennis, please come. 20 minutes more is given to him. That means she is dying in 20 minutes' time. I said, okay. We alighted the bus, took taxi all the way to Tan Tock Seng. When I reached there, she was still alive. Went to the lady, told the lady, I don't know what is God's plan for you. But one thing I can tell you, the Lord could revive Lazarus, who was 4 days dead in the tomb. You are better than Lazarus. It's so easy for God to revive him. If Lazarus is so easy for God, you are better than Lazarus. That's all I can say. You know now, she's alive. She's serving again the kind of serving. Praise God. Now, just a sidetrack, just to tell the ladies, it was just UTI. We take UTI very lightly, or it's just urinary tract infection, but that infection went to the head. Take care of ourselves. But whatever the case, if we are sick, we must call our elders. Because the Lord here is teaching us to respect one another in the church, to love one another in the church, and also to teach the elders to learn to love God's people. And so, pastors and preachers have no excuse. They must be willing to let go of what they have, even if they are writing sermons, preparing sermons, for the sake of the care of the sick ones. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The power is not in the elders. The power is in the Lord. And by the way, it's here. The word name in the Lord doesn't mean the spelling of the Lord. You don't spell J-E-S-U-S-C-H-R-I-S-T-O. That's the name of the Lord. No. The word name in the scripture talks about the power of the Lord. The existence, the attributes, the character of the Lord. The Lord is a merciful God. The Lord is the Almighty God. Life is in the hand of God. The Lord is the giver of life, and the Lord is the one who takes away life. And so when the pastor understands this, that life is in the Lord, he will pray in the name of the Lord. He will trust in the name of the Lord. And that leads us to the next main section of our text. He said in verse 15, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Now, first thing I want to share with you is that some of our troubles are caused by our sins. I'm not saying, therefore, the unfair, therefore, she is in sin. We cannot say that, and we have no power to judge. It's not in us. But the person who is in affliction will know, because the Holy Spirit, as he or she reads the scriptures, will know. That's why David said, "My bones are vexed day and night." There is that emptiness, and you know the trouble that came your way was because you were not right with God. Distress, stress problems, all these things, and even a fever and flu and all these things. There are times whereby it's good for us to check ourselves before God. Is there any sin in me, Lord? But again, I want to say, not just because you have flu, therefore, you are not right with God. That's not the point. But there are times whereby sicknesses are caused by sins. That's why here the Apostle James said that sins are related, or sicknesses are related to sins at times. And so when the prayer is committed in the healing, a person also may ask for forgiveness, and also his sins are forgiven. But let's focus on what is this prayer of faith all about. The prayer of faith here in the Greek text has the idea of a prayer that is motivated by faith. Prayer of faith. Faith is the source of prayer. That's why, if you remember how this sermon began, I did share with you that a man who is walking closely with God is a man of prayer. Prayer will come voluntarily, flowing freely from our hearts because we are in faith. So friends, we need to cultivate our spiritual life, whether we are, whatever circumstances we are in, so that we might be ready to pray. You don't wait for affliction to come and think you can pray. It won't come. You won't pray. I can guarantee you that. You don't wait until your promotion so you pray. You won't pray. You will praise yourself. You don't come until sickness, cancer comes to you and say, "Oh, I will pray." No, you will not. Live in faith day by day. Live by faith day by day. Live through faith day by day. And what is faith? Faith is a conviction. A conviction that comes from a heart that is blessed by God. A conviction that God will not disown us. God will always take care of us. God loves us. That's a conviction. That is faith. And because faith is living, your mouth will open in prayer. A prayer that is a fruit of your faith. A prayer that is acceptable to God because it is a prayer of faith. And a prayer that the Lord will hear. So friends, as we come to end, may I urge you to take care of your spiritual life. Is your faith growing? Is your faith living? Is your faith working? If it is, in whatever circumstances you are in, you will pray. You will love to pray. And so pray in all circumstances. If you are in affliction, the first thing you must think is to pray. Do not murmur, my friends. Do not dispute the wisdom of God. If you are in abundance. Do not praise yourself. But sing songs in prayer. If you are sick, call your elders, call your pastors. They will pray. They don't have the power to heal you, but they can ask the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean you cannot pray on your own. You must certainly pray on your own. But this is just God's management of His house. So we must call them. Don't be ashamed. 12 o'clock midnight, don't say he's sleeping. Wake him up. Wake him up. You have the authority from the Lord. Wake him up. If you don't come, he's a false teacher. So let him come. And then, all of us must learn that a prayer that will see wonderful things is a prayer of faith. How to have a prayer of faith? Walk in faith, live in faith, live through faith. Let your faith grow from strength to strength. You will be praying acceptable prayers to the Lord, and you will see the mighty power of God working in your life. May there be men and women in Tabernacle who will pray prayers of faith. And this church will be a blessing to many around the world. We are lacking people who are praying in faith in Christian denominations. That's why our churches are weak. We are lacking because many of us are not faithful to God. May we repent, lest we see the curse of God and not the grace of God. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, forgive us when we have not prayed to Thee. Forgive us when our faith are lacking, weak, stagnant, dying. Forgive us when the cares of the world are so much above us and burdening a great burden to us. Forgive us, O Lord. Revive us that we may pray prayers of faith, that we may see Thy hand working in the midst of us. We pray for this church, O Lord. Thank You for how You have sustained them. Thank You for Thy blessings here. Thank You for the mission trips. Thank You, Lord, for the afflictions, the sicknesses. Thank You even for the blessings. So may You bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing our last hymn.